Welcome to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur, Illinois, on the southeast side of Decatur. Our worship service is each Sunday at 9 a.m., followed by Bible study and Sunday school at 10:15. And we'd like to invite you to worship with us, especially if you don't have a church home. Please join us for worship. My name is Pastor Matthew Verseman, and I have the pleasure and privilege of being the pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church and of leading you in worship this morning. So let us begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is appropriate whenever we come into God's holy presence, and really every day of our lives, that we confess our sins and receive forgiveness from Him. So let us confess our sins unto God our Father. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Amen. Upon this, your confession, I have the privilege of telling you that God does love you. He sent his only Son, Jesus, to the cross to die for you, to forgive you. And Jesus did die for you. And therefore, in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 20, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the word of God for our text today from Matthew chapter 6. The disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus answered, "When you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear friends in Christ, today we conclude our sermon series on prayer. One day Jesus' disciples came to him and asked, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus does teach his disciples to pray by giving them the words for prayer, a parable about prayer, and encouragement to pray. Prayer is one of those least common denominator religious activities. Whenever people get religious about anything, that's when the prayer starts. We oftentimes hear a lot of people say, "Well, I'm spiritual without being religious," which is sort of code words for saying that I don't believe in all that God stuff very much. I call upon Him only in emergencies. And so what oftentimes happens, when the bad things happen, even those who are spiritual without being religious usually start to pray or at least meditate. When the sky starts falling, planes start crashing, and plagues and storms start hitting. Prayer is also one of the more misunderstood religious activities. Like any other bit of religion, prayer can be done wrongly. Prayer can be treated like a transaction, or a deal, some sort of bargaining chip, where we try to extract favors from a God who we believe is quite unwilling to give us things, treating God more or less like a vending machine. Put in the right combination of petitions, prayers, and praise, and out pops your 12-ounce miracle or your bag of Doritos blessing. Many people stumble into this kind of thinking when it comes to prayer because they really don't know the words and promises of God the strong foundation that we have in Jesus' forgiveness to call upon God, the strong foundation we have in Jesus to approach God and receive a favorable reception from Him, just such a rock solid foundation for prayer. And then many people don't know the promises upon which we pray and for which we pray. And so God becomes a vending machine. And then when God fails to deliver the goods we want, when we want them, that usually marks the end of their being spiritual but not religious. And so off they go to worship some other god like Mother Earth, Father Time, Lady Luck, or the god they see standing in front of them when they look into a full-length mirror. Many people just want a vending machine god, when what you really need, and I do too, is a savior from sin, death, hell, grave, and devil. A lot of people, they don't realize that's what they need. At least not yet, if you catch my drift. But prayer is not a bargaining chip. It's not a way of buttering up a reluctant God to give you something, even though he's quite unwilling. No, nor is it informing God of something he isn't already aware of. In fact, did you know Jesus told his disciples, "Your Father in heaven already knows what you need, even before you ask." And so our Lutheran catechism says basically the same thing. God's name is hallowed, his kingdom comes, and his will is done, even without our prayer. But we pray in these petitions that it would come to us also, that we would recognize it's coming from God and by his grace, and that we would receive these gifts with thanksgiving. So, there, God already knows what you need and promises to give you what is best, even before you ask. In fact, he even causes the rain to fall and the sun to shine upon the heathen, the Bible says. Why? He's such a good God, he wants to keep them alive so that they have more time to repent and become his children. Well, then, why pray? Well, that's a good question, a fair question. Why pray if God already has everything covered? Why pray when your Heavenly Father knows all that you need even before you ask him? Well, let me begin by saying this. Why bother talking to your earthly father if you know he's going to give you the keys to the car anyway? Why talk to your wife if she already knows what you're going to say? Why tell your wife you love her if you already did that on your wedding day? Why call up a friend when you really have nothing to talk about? If you stop and think about it, most of our talk is not about getting things out of others. Most of our talk is just talk, conversation. Saying what's on our minds and in our hearts, sharing our secrets, our fears, our hopes, our dreams, our longings. Most of our conversation is not so much making requests or demands, it's communion or fellowship. And this is the gospel key to prayer. Prayer is not so much communicating demands and requests with God. It's communing with God, conversing with God, talking to your daddy, dear children coming to their dear Father in heaven and saying, "Abba, Papa, Daddy." And then having Jesus intercede to the Father with his forgiving blood so that the Father welcomes us and receives us. He gives us access into his presence and a favorable reception. And having the Holy Spirit help us by packaging and delivering our words to the Father's ear. When you understand the Word of God, you begin to see the depth of prayer. And so, Jesus himself prayed. Now, that may be a little surprising, because Jesus himself was the only begotten Son of God. He was and is the eternal Son of God in human flesh now. Luke makes this point more than any other gospel writer. If anyone didn't need to pray, it was Jesus. He knew the mind of God perfectly. He and the Father were of one mind and will. He loved the will of God and wanted the will of God to be done. So why did Jesus need to pray? Well, again, first of all, prayer is, first of all, just communion, fellowship, talking to your daddy. Only dysfunctional families don't talk to each other. But then again, Jesus did have a lot to pray about. You see, our prayers are oftentimes for others and their needs. And the same thing with Jesus. Jesus prayed for his disciples. He prayed for the whole world. He prayed for the salvation of everyone. He prayed for healings of people. And he prayed for you and me. Jesus is our intercessor, our go-between, our high priest with the Father. He brings us and our needs with him to the Father. And since Jesus prays for us, we also are able to pray. Through his forgiving blood, we are forgiven every sin that separates us from God. We are forgiven every sin that cuts us off from God. We're forgiven every sin that made God mad at us. He's not mad at us anymore. We're now, having been forgiven, we have access to God to come in and stand in his grace, in his presence, his gracious presence. We also have a favorable reception from God and a listening ear. And so as Jesus prayed, we pray with Jesus as children of God in his shoes and in his status. Now, with that in mind, Jesus now did as the disciples requested. He taught his disciples to pray. This is the second thing. Prayer is not a natural activity for sinners, perhaps like eating and breathing. Prayer must be taught to us by the Lord and learned by his disciples. The disciples recognize this, so they ask, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John taught his disciples. Now, we don't know exactly what John taught them about prayer. We're not told. Doesn't really matter, because now one greater than John is here, and that is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So Jesus gives them and us the words to pray, sort of like a model prayer. It's not that this is the only prayer you can pray, but it's a model prayer for all the prayers you pray, and it's called the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us our daily bread, forgive us, lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. He teaches us to pray by giving us his prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and he teaches us to pray by praying it with us. In it, we pray for all we need. Yes, right in the center of the Lord's Prayer is give us this day our daily bread, which means that even our daily bread or our bread box is not unimportant to Jesus. But both before and after our daily bread sort of comes the more important things. Surrounding daily bread, we pray for God's name to be holy. In our lives and on our lips, the name by which we were claimed and saved. The family name that we have, of the family we've now become a part of. We pray for his kingdom that has come by Jesus' death and resurrection, and that it will come to us and remain with us until he finally takes us home to his heavenly kingdom. We pray for his will to be done. And Jesus tells us in John 6 what the will is. The will of my Father is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will be saved. We pray for God's will to be done, even if it means asking him to get in the way of anything that would rob us of our salvation, including the sin inside of us, the world around us, and the devil beside us. Jesus teaches us to pray on the front end for the big stuff, God's name being hallowed, his kingdom coming, his will being done, that we and everyone would be saved in Jesus and by his blood. Now, I hope you see that, above all, it has so much more to do than just getting favors or stuff out of God. It has everything to do with God's favor or grace that saves us from all sin, death, and the devil for all eternity, for that mercy and grace resting upon us. That's the big stuff. May your name be holy, Father, in my life and on my lip as I trust in Jesus. As God owns us, and has stamped his claim on us in baptism. And we are his children. We bear his name. And that name burnishes our lips like the hot coal that touched the lips of Isaiah. And then he opens our lips that praise might come forth, as well as prayers and petitions. He claims us as his own that we might serve him without fear. May your kingdom come, Father. I want you to rule over me. I want rule over us and in us. Be our Lord as you already are. Overrule every competing rule of the devil, the world, and our flesh. Let the word be preached and heard that sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. Let faith take hold and capture hearts and reign in those hearts as your spiritual kingdom comes. And then let love flow through us to the world. This is what we're praying for when we pray, Thy kingdom come. Nothing less than the gracious reign of Christ in us and over us and through us. This is big stuff. This is eternal stuff. Stuff that matters forever. We might call it spiritual stuff. Okay. Yes, you can't take it to the bank and it's not going to pay your rent. But in the end, it's what we need to see us through death to life. Yes, God's name is hallowed, his kingdom come, and his will is done, even without our prayers. But we pray this with Jesus to remind ourselves from whom it all comes, and to remind ourselves that God intends it for us. And when we pray that God's name is holy, his kingdom come, and his will be done in our lives, we're not praying just to get stuff and things. We're praying that God will be gracious to us and establish his merciful reign in our lives now and forever. And then, on the other side of give us this day our daily bread, we pray for forgiveness, for our being guarded against all temptation, and our being delivered from all evil. This is Jesus's agenda for our prayers, and that's why he gives us this perfect prayer, the Lord's Prayer, to pray. Which also means that we don't have to worry about getting the words right. Because let's face it, if anybody's going to mess things up, it's us sinners. But we don't have to worry about getting the words right. Jesus gave us the words to pray as a model prayer. And then next, Jesus encourages us to pray by telling us sort of a funny little parable of a person who has unexpected out-of-town company to arrive at his or her house. And this person is three loaves short of bread at midnight. So he goes and pounds on the door of his neighbor, who's already pretty much falling asleep. Outrageous, you say? Of course. It's over the top. The point of the parable in the Greek is the Greek word anaideon, which often is translated impudence, or how could someone be so impudent as to go and knock on the door of their neighbor at midnight when they're already in bed asking for three loaves of bread? So you're wondering, are we going to get away with this? And the only reason we can get away with this is because our Father is not an unloving or reluctant neighbor. He is a neighbor who is ready and most willing to give to us what we need at any time. He's a neighbor who actually listens to our prayers and petitions and doesn't even mind middle of the night intrusions, because the Bible says God neither sleeps nor slumbers. In fact, he delights in our intrusions. He thinks it's great when we call upon him and depend upon him. But then again, what parent doesn't like to hear the voice and cries of his or her kids? And then finally, Jesus promises us that our prayers will be answered. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. So when we read that again, we think that like things are going to fall into place, and they're going to fall into place quite quickly or immediately. In the Greek, what Jesus actually says is this: keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. He doesn't promise that you will get precisely what you ask for or find exactly what you seek or that every door you knock on will be opened or instantly opened. As Jesus says, your Father knows how, if earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? But notice the key is good gifts, right gifts. Gifts that bless and benefit us. He also promises us the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. And with the Spirit comes every good and perfect gift. I dare say that every petition of the Lord's Prayer is answered fully by God, if you really think about it. When we pray His name to be hallowed, He answers that. And He hallows His name in our hearts and on our lips. When we pray, Thy kingdom come, He gives us the kingdom. As He already did at the cross, as He already did in our baptism, He daily continues to give us His kingdom. When we pray His will is done, that we be saved in Jesus, He grants us that will. It's according to His will. And so He answers that prayer with absolutely, you are saved in Jesus. He sustains our lives with daily bread. We are forgiven when we ask. We are guarded from, or at least through, our temptations. And finally, we are daily and will continue to be delivered from evil until we're finally delivered from evil on our last day or on the last day. Every single petition of this perfect prayer is fulfilled in your life and mine every single day. Maybe not in ways you expect or ways you want, but our expectations often fall far short of God's good gifts. So He'd rather give us His good gifts than the expectations we want, which are much less good, maybe even bad. I started out this sermon by saying that prayer is the least common denominator religious activity. Religious people pray. But now I'm going to end by saying, don't look at prayer as just like a religious activity. Don't think of prayer as something you do to get stuff from God, but something you do because you know and believe you already have everything you need and more from God. We don't pray to earn God's favor or get more stuff. We pray because we have God's favor and He's already given us His whole kingdom. So pray because you have God's favor in Jesus. Don't pray as though you were coming to some kingpin to cut a deal under the table. No, pray as the children of God that you are to a most loving Father that you have. Don't pray as the religious types do. Pray as Jesus, your Savior, has taught you, simply talking to your Heavenly Daddy. In the end, prayer doesn't really begin with us. It begins with Jesus, His prayer, His words, His sacrificial life and death, His blood, His forgiving blood that gives us access, His access to the Father, His resurrection that gives us His status as children of God. Knowing it is your baptism into Christ that makes you as much a child of God as Jesus, through whom you can even dare knock to on the door of your Father at midnight, and He has to answer, because you're as much a part of the family of God as His own dear Son Jesus is. So pray boldly, for what father doesn't love to give good gifts to his children? And that is what you are, in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being such a merciful and gracious God, for being a good, good God, and a good, good Father, for loving us and caring for us at all times and in all ways, even when we have not loved you in return. Thank you for sending Jesus to the cross, even before we repented. And in our case, even before we were born, you already sent Jesus to the cross to die for us, to forgive us every sin that separated us from you, that we might be your children now and forever, and have communion and fellowship and conversation and life with you forever. We thank you for this through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who brought Christ into our lives and made us your children. The Holy Spirit who packages our prayers when we don't know how to pray and delivers them to you also on our behalf. We thank you for teaching us even that very wonderful, beautiful prayer of yours, which we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue on the southeast side of Decatur. We'd like you to join us for worship each Sunday morning at 9 a.m., followed by Bible study and Sunday school at 10:15 a.m. And may the Lord richly bless you in the week ahead. Amen.